to those issues. And I know that Mr. Moyana is here this morning. He looked very sad, in fact. he lost his document, the key, and I'm told that the reason is because there was one member of committee with him in the morning, maybe. The member deliberately sort of stole the keys, so that unless you have an opposition, you must ask Low, Mr. Long, Mr. Moyana has lost the keys, and I'm told you had tea with him in the morning. So what happened to his keys? Okay, that's fine. Just leave it there. That's fine.
I'm just getting some tea or coffee quite.
Okay, no. We can sort of start with that presentation. What is this going to get your members? If you're ready, can you lead the presentation on the budget presentation?
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll ask Segrin, the acting CFO, to go ahead with this immediately. People, what's happening? Chair, with your permission, we'll start talking to the document Building a New Home Affairs and addressing the issues particularly of the split between zone management and other functions. If you look at the first page 2, I don't know if the members have the document. We report that the structural programs within the department were recognized by the support intervention team that consisted of members from the Public Service Commission, DPSA, and National Treasury, who had been invited with support from here by the minister. There was a discussion around a possible separation of the two functions, immigration and civics. And when we looked also at examples in the world, the 26 or so that we looked at, it was found that only two countries combined civics, immigration and civics, and those were South Africa and Namibia. But there are justifications too for keeping the two together. So the recommendation then was that we do a partial separation rather than a complete separation. This was approved, I think, by the portfolio committee. It says in my notes somewhere, as well as cabinet in 2006. So the implementation of that was done as we have presented the structure that has evolved and is reflected in the strategic plan. But we also need to emphasize that it's partial because there are certain things that are common or where there is a strong interface. We should now swing all together and go separate ways. Areas of convergence between the immigration section, NIB is now called Immigration Services, and Civic Services, is that all of them need access to HANES. The passport, which is produced by Civics, is a migration document, essentially. Then we also have Civics area producing cards, refugee cards, doing citizen confirmation. The late registration of births would be applicable to people who come into South Africa, among others, and that's done by screening committees reside with Civic Services, but there is Immigration Services representation. Then we have contract holders, contract workers whose permits are issued by Civics. And then the permanent residents get their ID cards, you know, that number which is ends with 1-8 instead of ours, which is 0-8, and so on. So there are commonalities, and it does make good sense to keep the two activities together. On page 3, we then talk about the partial separation model, which was recommended. So what was to be separated there was then to recognize that there are two entities really within this single, and the split in reporting lines has been established now, where Civic Services staff reports straight into the Civic Services authority, and similarly with Immigration Services. The budget also must reflect the two activities as separate activities, and then the functions that are carried out are also split. It is important that we make use of economies that are realized by working out of a common support system from the point of view of finance, administration, IT, as much as possible, so that you do not have as case of two Home Affairs offices not talking to each other within a particular area. Some of the support functions would reflect an activity that is more with one core function, I'm saying here, that where the dominant activity in a particular area is, for instance, civic services, such as the production of IDs, civic services, then the support function, such as call center, would be managed by the core area that is supported the most. The vast majority of people who are using the call center currently are asking about IDs, and so it makes sense that that function is aligned to the civic services. With respect to Foreign Office coordination, this was a floating responsibility which has been taken and put under immigration, because that's really the function, the relevant function. So that graphic to the right really says that there is a separate support service for each of these core businesses, but there are also combined support services that underpin the functioning of the two core functions as a Department of Home Affairs. Page 4, currently we have a staff of 7,600, and it is expected that in the third year there should be 10,000 or in excess, depending on our ability to absorb this. In many ways, this is a good news scenario, because most of the restructurings require that people be cut off. Here we are in terms of implementing the footprint that was recommended by CSIR, beefing up to have more offices and therefore more people in different places. The call for separation also functions is that in the civic services function, that branch, the functions tend to be standardized and are routine, whereas at the immigration services branch, you have fairly specialized responsibilities. What drives the separation, I'm building up to the case of separation now and sharing, is that the focus on the customer is very strong, and whereas one reflects a stronger focus on operational control and the shared services, as discussed a little earlier, bring about the synergies that we require. Unless I'm reading from an old paper. Chair, the two principles on page 5 that drive the design of the civics and the immigration services units, one is establishing operational control. There must be a link to front office to back office activity. There are many bullet points here. I don't want to waste people's time. Focus management on the customer, which is both the civics and immigration services. It still make mistakes here. Must also focus on the customer, empower the management team to deal with the processes, remove unnecessary layers, and ensure that frontline management has the power to resolve customer issues. This is the devolution that's talked about most of the time. We need to balance that empowerment of the people on the ground with effective management control and accountability. On the following page, the current functions of provincial managers are centralized. I think we need to note that. Provincial managers, currently we're migrating into the new thing now, where in the area of civic services, they managed regions and district offices. They also managed immigration services, port control, permitting, etc. They also were responsible for the units, the area unit, the finance and supply chain management, took responsibility for all the people in a particular area, for human resources, information services, provincial liaison, and clusters for both IMS and, so on, and civic. So if the authorities in a province want to discuss immigration, the most person that's produced is the provincial manager. So none of these things are necessarily wrong, but it is a very cumbersome operation, and I think the experience has been that it's not been carried out effectively, really through no fault of the individuals. The provincial managers, which is very important, is that they had no direct reporting lines to a branch that is responsible for the function. So the provincial manager would report to something that was called service delivery, well, a very diffuse service. You want to know exactly what happened to passport. The person who has got the responsibility for passport or liaison with communities has to take direct responsibility and support for that. That's what the change is meant to bring about. On this next page, we try now to define the functions of the new civic services zone managers and immigration services zone coordinators. There is a distinction between the two. They carry out different functions. They manage regional managers. You will notice that also gone is the area management layer. We're delayering, so two layers are gone. And the direct accountability in terms of coordination goes to the zone manager. So they specifically make sure that courier services for applications function, that they look at the quality of applications that come from the zone that they manage, client satisfaction, which includes how are queues being managed, how is order maintained. There is a dashboard that we've already developed where people look at. It's got six key functions, which include the functioning of the telephones in the system, is the IT down, how long are the queues, etc., etc. The impact of this, we hope, will be felt quite soon. And that links very directly what head office and the field are doing. So they would also take responsibility for liaising with provincial and local governments and other clusters that are found in these areas. So for the immigration services, and this is really exclusively for immigration services, the zone people would function for, would be responsible for coordinating immigration services in the zones, and they also liaise on matters of immigration, migrations, with their local and provincial governments. They are relieved of the function of looking after HR matters, finance, etc., etc. We say, nota bene, zone managers are only in civics and zone coordinators on in the immigration services. Those functions that I just mentioned have been removed. So you may have an increased geographical spread in terms of the combined supervision, but the functions are more focused, and you might argue that they are narrowed but more focused and therefore more specialized. Page 8, Chair, I'll try and rush this one. There is a 7-person leadership team at the head of Home Affairs currently. I hope this structure persist at least for 5 years or what have you, if the current thrust is sustained, this is how we think it should happen. We have an audit committee consisting, as usual, of external people. The chief of audit within the organization does not actually report to the DG except for administrative purposes. They report to the audit committee and has only a dotted line accountability to the DG. So the two highlighted blocks are what Home Affairs does, namely civic services and immigration services. The rest are support services. Unfortunately, however much we pay for those people, we need them. You've got finance, just like you need a DG sometimes. Finance, the head of IS, the support group one, and the second support seven. The next page shows the graph of the civic service unit. I know we're rushing this. I wish we could have a little workshop too, because this is really the area of strongest interest to the committee. Here it shows what this seeks to show is that there is direct line responsibility, direct accountability, and I think the shortest route, if you see the number of layers that go to the head of civics, there is a secretariat. If we look at the straight line, that's why people we should have had this thing on the board. If you look at the straight line where you've got front office zones, and we've got zone four, zone two. That explains all of that. But those people would be reporting into the head of civic services directly. But it's not one person. There is a secretariat which takes direct responsibility for each of the zones, and it's not necessarily a very senior function. It is senior, I think it's a level of director, but to ensure that the program implementation is directly linked to the strategic targets that have been set, there is a backstopping at the head office by a group in the secretariat surrounding the head of civic services. So we have all the provinces covered there and combined as explained a little earlier. But we are striving for consistency, uniformity, almost standardization of implementation, so you don't have a variance where you've got very good ones doing well and poor ones perhaps just managing. That is realized by the direct linkage of the reporting and supervision by people at in this secretariat. May I just, can we go to the next page? This is just a breakdown of the zones. If we just keep in mind that the function is as defined earlier, not controls or anything to do with the zones 1 to 4, combine those districts and municipalities, district municipalities. The number of districts per region ranges from 1 to 6, really, depending on a number of factors. The clustering is based on a balanced distribution of population and the geographical spread. Where the population is high, typically area is smaller, and vice versa, such as Gauteng and Northern Cape. The provincial boundaries remain respected for budgeting purposes. And based on current footprints, the footprint will be expanded and the structure might need to be adapted. So there is some flexibility that we're building into this. Structure should always, we believe, as they say, follow function. Page 11, this is the immigration one we're looking at. The person who is in charge of immigration services looks after those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 business areas. It's foreign offices, it's port control, and they are the function, and they will be in different zones where they occur. Permits, inspectorate, refugee affairs, and then the zone coordination here is where the person at zone one under zone coordination makes sure that while the others have a vertical reporting responsibility, things that take place in terms of ports of entry in different zones do have one person that coordinates them. So to avoid the silo, which however effective it may be for short term, for purposes of direct and quick reporting, these activities belong under one function, namely management of large accounts, if that's what it is, etc. So the coordination there is to make sure that there is uniformity among the services, control of services. That's about all, Chair. I know that this is a little bit of a blitz and maybe confusing, but the key words that one would leave here is that the function has dictated the structure. We come from a directive, both by Cabinet Portfolio Committee and based on experience, that says recognize that although you're Home Affairs, you've got two rather distinct functions. There are certain commonalities which you must exploit, provide a common support function as much as possible, but do not sacrifice the quickness of response, for instance, that's required in the area of migration, and do not also tamper with the regional and the geographical character of the service that is being that recognizes provinces and so on. So we request you to support this, Chair, and we really want to offer the members another opportunity to debate this. I think we should look at it as work in progress, by and large with flexibilities built into how it can be changed. Let's see how any improvements, whether any improvements flow from this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Breakdown of what we requested when we met with you on Friday, and I think it's now getting clearer and clearer to members. But without waste of time, I'll then give opportunity to members to sort of ask questions. Obviously, informed by the intervention task force, if you go through that deep report, which we did not have much opportunity to deal with the intervention task force report, because we received a very brief input, which was tabled in the portfolio committee, and the detail of that recommendation was not contained in the report that we received in the committee from the minister. Therefore, I think as you will be moving forward, it will be critical for members of the committee and for the committee to have a fuller insight of that report, because it's what is guiding your ability currently. On this proposal that you are now bringing forward before the committee. But without waste of time, let me give members to start to reflect on these issues. Jose Muramo, Chair, how are you?
Thank you, Chairperson. Father Jose.
Hello.
Chairperson, I would like to thank the DG for presenting a more clearer picture about the, especially where they are saying they are not going to inter- interfere with the provincial boundaries. We are going to respect each other. And I want to confirm that the decision which was taken by the portfolio committee to support separation of civic and immigration still stands, Chairperson. And again, I'm on page 10. It's more clearer where they are talking about, especially from my province of Limpopo. Capricorn District, Kune District, Waterberg District. I hope, DG, what is written here is going to be implemented as it is. Because now, presently, we are expected to be under the control in Capricorn, which happened to be the head office of the province, which is totally out of order, Chairperson. I'm happy now that this document is more clearer. Lastly, Chairperson, is the question of filling of this post under the approved the DG confirmed, Chairperson. Yes, thank you.
Hello? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just wanted to ask through you to the DG the status of the documentation. Thank you very much for the presentation. The documents are noted highly confidential. And I appreciate we have to be taken into confidence, but do we hand these documents back? Is this information that's not available out there at the moment? I don't want to cause any trouble for the department by having these in our possession. How far is this going to go? When would it be in the public arena so that we don't preempt or make things difficult for the department? Also, Chairperson, I just want to stand by my comments on Friday in support of the changes that are being proposed for the simple reason that I think we need to think laterally and out the box and try something different because what has happened so far hasn't worked well. And I would repeat that. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I think I would also concur with my colleagues who have just said we are in support of separating the civics from that one. But surely, Chairperson, I think the department do understand that the question that we posed last time, they were not out of ignorance. I think it is very, very important for them to come and clarify this thing in more detail. Like really to place appeal to that they should come back to us again and support this. It shows that there will be a move, and then this move will be definitely be positive. Thank you.
Before you come in, page 27 of the strategic plan. That's where you deal with the target. Because my concern of yours will be. At what point do you sort of start to put in place a operations of this zone? Obviously, what is critical would be your capacity to implement. You remember last time I raised the question around the capacity of the human resource to be able to sort of a deal with a kind of positions that you'll want to fill as a matter of agent, I think I'll believe. As I said, we are already halfway the financial year, meaning that what is critical is that you have identified 700 posts that you want to fill. And you are saying, if you look at the target, 208-209, 75% of new posts established in place. 75% meaning that of your zones, By this financial year, we'll have covered. By next year, when we start 2009 and 2010, I believe that we have sort of remaining of about 25% remaining of the capacity in the zone. Just share with us that part, DG, because that's the most critical one for us as we allocate the resources. We know for a fact that there may be other funded posts that already exist, and how are you going to make sure that maybe some of these positions can sort of be diverted into this new model of zoning? Because that's what is very, very critical. At the structural level, DG, where you started with your presentation around the national structure, how you split the capacity with regard to the your DDGs, the DDG section. The two core, the two core functions still have the. The what's called where you talk of seven a person leading team would manage the department. I just wanted to know on the page 8 of the building the new the structure. What capacity does it exist now? Have we filled up these positions? If not, which areas that we have not filled up, and by when are we going to be able to really confirm the filling? Because I'll believe that this becomes your engine, DG, the engine, because these are the drivers of your programs, especially the two which you identified, but the supporting a drivers there, the four remaining, head of finance, IS, and the two support, what's called. How are you, sort of dealing with those areas, because you need to sort of say, yes, put it in the committee that we really now know that the department, because the biggest problem has been the capacity to drive certain programs in place, you know. So those are very critical. I know that your finance, you still have a CFO who's acting. At what point are we going to have a full-time CFO? I know that there's still pending cases on that other part. But just to look at, you know, you have not want the situation, DG, where you are sort of a disabled at some point by, you know, removing certain key people are not filled into positions, because that may really create a tension. The last part will be the migration from these two sections. How prepared our staff on the ground? Have we, as a department, yourself as a department, have you looked at and the kind of engagement that has taken place? I know that the unions have consulted with them, which is fair, but how ready is the machinery to be able to migrate to the new system and all of that, which obviously will bring more benefit and relieve more stresses from the officials currently under stress. I think if you have this direct focus and support and all of that, I think it will definitely help. But what measures have you put in place throughout this process to make sure that they have, you know, supportive, you know, taking them on board, so the whole thing does not collapse in our hands? We don't agree with this, and the whole thing collapses, and we stuck again. Let's give the DG to you. You want to add something?
I thought my colleague would raise this question, Chairperson, under devolution of power, Chairperson. Certain powers have devolved to the lower level and provincial level, but the control of human resource still lies at head office. I want the DG to clarify that one, Chairperson, as well, while responding to other questions. Thank you.
Can I, Chair? Can I respond, Chair? We thank the honourable members for the support. The question that was raised, perhaps let me start with the last question regarding devolution and control at a certain level, at head office level. In the course of discussing with our people when we visit provinces and other areas, that question is usually raised as sometimes a bit of a restriction. I think up to level 8, there is full devolution of responsibility to the local level. It is important to do that in order to get the system to work faster, we have to advertise posts in national newspapers. But we agreed when we met the Gauteng group last year that we encourage also that there is advertisement, that posts advertised in the local community papers, so that as much as possible the office, the composition of the office, certainly at lower levels, reflects the local local composition. So there is nonetheless a need to be cautious around the employment of people. None of us is completely above problems of manipulation, nepotism, etc., etc. So yes, you want to make sure that the posts for an organization that is nationwide are standardized as much as possible, that we give opportunities as we go to higher levels to South Africans to occupy these positions, and that they are advertised correctly, that the position is... So that control function still resides in head office, but as much as possible, we are trying to ensure that as much authority as possible goes to the province. If there are key aspects that I'm omitting, I'll ask the chair to allow Tampani, who is in charge of HR currently, to deal with that. The structure, these papers are not confidential. They may be used. I think we forgot to remove that when we're still, before the structure was approved at a certain lower level. The and chair wants us to speak to. Then there are posts. That's the big question. I will need support here. But each one, we said in our strat plan that 700 positions will be filled this year, and we have a breakdown in a piece in a document that has not been distributed, which has been distributed here. That's the document that says clearly there is a need to put in place the senior management, service management, and civics to assist in the upcoming recruitment of lower levels. So the table indicates actually accounts for each one of the 700 posts that will be filled this year. We are putting our neck on the block. I hope we can accomplish most of this. It is essential that we do it, but it covers the whole organization. It's been possible to do this now that we have had consultations with the unions at the senior management services level. Not all of those people are in the bargaining council. But we thought we should go along with the trade unions and err on the side of taking more time to get their buy-in. We are now in a position to migrate the people, and we have started. We've been having discussions first with the SMS members, senior management service members, where we discussed the implications of coming up with a new structure. What does it mean to current job holders? Do they retain their jobs? Do they resign and go and apply for new positions? Certain criteria were set, which include largely that if the job does not change significantly, the person migrates as is. But if there is a significant, and there must always be a definition of what you mean by significant change in the scope of the job, we discussed and agreed that there would be a requirement to apply for the job. it is important also that we give certain guarantees to employees regarding their employment. If they did not fit at all, like to deal with extreme cases, we would put them in a pool and perhaps make actively support outplacement within the government system. But essentially, I think we need to be honest with people. We think that by and large, people with adequate training, and there's a lot of training that will be required, will be and good attitudes, will be able to move into new positions. But it's not a guaranteed. Otherwise, we would be wasting a lot of money restructuring just for the sake of moving chairs around. So there are 44 posts at the SMS level. The immigration services, former NIB, there are 387 posts to be filled this year. Cape Town and OR Tambo will take the bulk of the immigration services people. Some of the posts will be filled in the offices abroad, foreign offices. The plan, as shown in the strategic plan, is to recruit 10 this year. Filling up the offices. There are 7 airline liaison officers who will be employed this year. Those are people who are placed away from home. They actually interview and interact with people intending to come to South Africa at destination, at departure point, to make sure that costs of repatriating unwanted people are avoided as much as possible. You determine right there whether people are needed or not. That's going to be most important as we move towards 2010. And there is an expectation, I think, as one honorable member pointed out last time, that people are already positioning themselves, gearing to come to South Africa, some with not very good intentions. The posts, there is a plan to increase our representation of transferred officers abroad at certain rates of, I think as pointed out in the strat plan, 10 this year. I must say that this is subject to consultations with the Department of Foreign Affairs, who are the responsible authority. I think we've put figures that we've thought. There's a memorandum of understanding that's being signed with Foreign Affairs, and we really are working hard to make sure that these additional people are placed, are recruited and posted, particularly in light of this upcoming big event, this 2010 FIFA World Cup that everybody's talking about. Chair, the civic services, which is really the bulk of what Home Affairs does, this year we intend to deploy 269 posts. That calls also for the preparation of, I think as the chair points out, the whole suite of requirements to support this, you know, the infrastructure, the IT, the desks, all of those things need to be, are being planned to be in place for the deployment of these people. Is it going to be possible to do this? I think it's eminently possible to do this. We had 2 discussions last week, one with the SMS group. How many are they? There would be about 80. And then we also had a workshop with the so-called top 200 employees of the department to discuss migration. We had a questionnaire that was prepared to determine a willingness to change. It's clear from the responses that we need to work very hard. People do get scared, but this is the leadership of the department, and I believe that the 2 days that we spent last week discussing these issues and being frank about people's concerns and the requirement for people who are committed to have confidence to go forward, and the supportive measures that we'll put in place, namely to build capacity. It takes time. It reflects not. It takes a while. I think the build up may not see us attain the results that we'd like to. We won't be quick off the block because people are not ready in some instances to do that. So, Chair, we have considered in coming to the numbers that we're talking about the feasibility of realizing that unless the dependency is on an external entity like Foreign Affairs and in some cases the Department of Public Works. The committee is still going to come back with some support strategy for us. We did plead last year that we were very, very restricted by the capacity or limited capacity at DPW. So, Chair, I think we are in a position to come as close as possible to fulfilling this. I think the biggest challenge will be attitude of staff. They are confidence to take on new responsibilities as reflected in the discussions we had last week. Thank you. Sorry, Chair, can I just say also, we plan broadcasts, direct broadcasts to the rest of the staff, and this is planned for Thursday after tomorrow, to talk also about these things. It's going to be a bit costly, but we will do it over 2 days so that people don't leave their post, but to talk about these things on video and so on will be movies.
The right one.
Okay, that's fine. To question, because it's an ongoing thing, Chairperson. The first one, Chairperson, one of the recommendations of the task team, Chairperson, they encourage interdepartmental with the communication, because where mobile Chairperson is operating, there is no reception of Vodacom and MTN. I don't hear the DG also addressing that, because Chairperson, it affects service delivery. Lastly, Chairperson, is the use of state law advisors, because we don't pay them a cent, Chairperson, for representing the department. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think those points are... but I do not want the DG will take another 10 minutes to respond. But I do not want the DG to respond to that one. Maybe let's look at the is human resource get up, DG. Because when I look at the civic services, for example, 269 job evaluation still have to be done. This is done already in the what's called in the documents. Not yet done. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Chair, by the time that we will be advertising, we would have completed the job evaluation. Tomorrow we've got the final meeting with the acting head of civic services just to finalize 4 of the 9 posts that he has. So by the time that we advertise the 44 posts, definitely everything would be job evaluated. Chair, may I also talk about our readiness as HR to deliver on the 700 posts? We have got 64 HR practitioners nationally that have been appointed. The training has already taken place. So to also address the issue that Honorable Koshi has indicated, that we will be taking those people on board when we advertise the 44 posts, so that we also do on-the-job training with them. You know, we've provided training. We will be doing the on-the-job training so that when they leave out, they will be able to deal with the appointments in their various provinces and zones. In addition to that, we have identified through a tender process just an HR recruiting agency that would help us with the administrative processes, because in many instances you find that the delay has been taken by the number of applications that we receive, we sort, we package. So we are going to have a dedicated service provider that would help us do those things so that the HR practitioners can be left to do that which is relevant to HR in terms of making arrangements for shortlistings, interviews, preparing submissions. So in terms of readiness, Chair, we are indeed ready to make sure that the 700 posts, or even more, would be filled if we can during this financial year.
Very impressive. It took us some time to arrive at this point. But thanks for the new look, obviously. The new look, obviously, brings with it more energy inside. Now, members, without waste of time, the issue of the provincial, the zones and the rearrangement of the department, the separation of the civic services and immigration, I think it's now clear, and the members, I think, as part of your ongoing engagement with the department, our ongoing engagement, we would want to engage further on these issues because they're going to help us when we do our oversight. Because when we do our oversight, we're going to a zone, you're supposed to be informed by what is in that zone, the function, so that we don't sort of engage with people that we don't know what is their functions, their responsibilities. When we summon people to appear before portfolio committee meeting, it must not create unnecessary tension. We're supposed to know exactly what this responsibility of this person is when we engage with that. On that note, I think it's something that the members of the committee support, and therefore can I then move for the adoption of the strategic plan of the Department of Home Affairs 208-209. Can I get a mover? A seconder? Seconded. Did you pick up that point? Oh. The strategic plan of the department is being adopted by the portfolio committee. Now, we don't have much time. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, or let's say 5 minutes, I want you just to give us a presentation on the budget allocation. It's going to be quite very brief because we'll have to adopt that. Meantime, you will then have to, we'll adopt the strategic plan. We have adopted the strategic plan with amendments, in fact, because there is a list of amendments that has been forwarded. So we'll use this as part of the amendments that have worked for. I need to make a mistake there. So therefore, the second part will be the budget presentation. Can we get that very, very brief? Because for now, a number of things that we have identified, some of them is going to be more engaged, ongoing with yourself, because there may be 300 questions that we have around the allocation, the shifting of funds from one point to another program. So those things are things that we may want to engage further with you as we engage further, but can you just give us a presentation now?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. In terms of the budget presentation, to go very quickly, it is a lengthy agenda, and the first three, four, five slides talk about the performance in the year that has been. That's the year that's being audited currently by the Auditor General. In terms of the spend, we've actually underspent our budget by 7.9%, which leaves us with 279 million that has not been spent. In terms of the current year, the year for the strategic plan, one of the fundamental changes that we've done is change the program structure. And this slide here, the slides are not numbered on the presentation there, but the copies that were distributed on Friday have been numbered. On slide 7, it gives you the old regime, the old structure, and the new structure, and the basic focus there is to separate the model that supports the partial separation in terms of the immigration services and the civic services. Okay. In terms of the process that was followed in the previous year, the department made requests, as can be seen on slide 8, and over the MTF period of 3.4 billion, 3.6 billion, and 2.5 billion. However, after much negotiations and tough negotiations, the ministerial committee, budget committee, cut those requests down to 511 million, as seen on the slide there for the various functions in the first year being 8-9, 570 million in 9-10, and a billion, just over a billion rand in 10-11. That is further broken down, if you go to the next slide, it is further broken down in terms of over and above that, what National Treasury has seen fit to do is add certain inflationary adjustments in terms of compensation to employees. However, in adjusting, in giving with the one hand, they have taken with the other hand by readjusting the baseline. So the 511 million, which they had given in 8-9, they adjusted our baseline by 223 million. So in effect, the true additional budget over the original baseline is 344 million in the 8-9 financial year. When we go, and in terms of the next slide, the process was the engagement with in June last year with the relevant authorities that concluded with the MINCOM budget in November 2007. The letter we received from Treasury was dated the 26th of November 2007. In the next slide, there's just a migration plan from the original baseline as per National Treasury. Add to that the additional allocation of 344 and the new new baseline for the 8-9 year of 4.5 billion rand. I'm going to skip the next few slides and then go into... In terms of the new baseline, if you can... if we look at slide 15 talks about the percentage increase on a program level from the year under the previous year, the 7-8 year, to the 8-9 year. And in all cases, there is a marked increase. I'd just like to stand on administration for a while. And you can see that the administration, and it was mentioned in the previous portfolio committee sitting, why is our program one, our administration program, so large vis-a-vis the core functions of the department. The primary reasons for that is traditionally within the department, all the property management services, costs, transportation costs, and transversal IT projects are grouped within administration. Now, going forward, we are trying to move those costs out and put them within core business. In the year under review, and also the turnaround budget, is sitting in program one. In the year under review, the 8-9 year, that figure comes to 587 million rand. So of the 1.2 billion in program one, 587 million is allocated for projects that should affect the core services of the department, being civil services and immigration, because all the office capital works projects that affects both immigration and civics is sitting in program one. The whole turnaround budget, like I mentioned, is sitting in program one as well. The transfer to agencies, the huge increase there is obviously the ramp up for the elections. So that's the huge increase from the current year of 7-8 into the next year of 8-9. The next slide gives us the same allocation, but in terms of economic classification. And from there, we can see in terms of the HR capacity that we want to bring in and inflationary, that has increased by 27%. Okay. In terms of the next few slides, I'm going to unpack the 8-9 financial year in much greater detail. Slide 17 talks about the same program allocation in the year. Slide 18 talks of the economic classification of the current year. Slide 19 unpacks, unpacks the year on a, in terms of high level allocations. Within, head office is all the management costs, the turnaround costs, and the head office core functions are in head office as well. Provinces, both civics and NIB is listed separately there. The IT related projects are 418 million and the devolution of funds being the accommodation charges, the leasing charges and the like are sitting separately. And then the transfer to agencies or the entities within the ambit of the Department of Home Affairs, is listed at the Truman Publication Board of $33 million, Government Printing Works. The bulk of that is for the passport machine, the balance of the payments to that machine, and then the IEC in terms of what is going to be transferred to the IEC in the current financial year. Page 20, the next slide, 20 and 21, gives a further breakdown of all the sub-programs for the year under review in a percentage split. And what within management, that $531 million is the turnaround cost, the turnaround project cost for the current year as well is included in that number. In terms of how National Treasury has guided us in splitting the $300 million allocation in this year, 255 of that is sitting under management fees in that $531 million. The balance of it is sitting under civics, largely under civics and immigration. And they, within Program 1, what I referred to previously, project management, property management, government transport, and the transversal IT projects, those last three items are 94, the 27, and the $211 million. Those line items are sitting in the administration Program 1. Hence, it gives you that skewed picture. Slide 21 is a further breakdown in detail of allocated budgets in terms of the functions, the core functions within the department across civics and NIB. Okay, there's nothing I'd like to draw your attention to there. In the next slide, slide 22, no, not that one, go one back. Slide 22 gives you a picture in terms of the provincial allocation for the current year, what the 7-8 year was, what the 7-8 year spend was, and can be clearly seen that the provinces were under tremendous pressure in terms of delivering services from a financial point of view, in that their budgets were by and large less than what they actually required. In light of that, only three of those provinces did not spend their full allocation. The rest of the provinces overspent their budget. And even though they overspent here, as a group, the department did not overspend its budget. In lieu of that fact, in the current budget allocation, the 8-9 budget allocation, every single province has received an increase in allocation, ranging from 26% all up to the way of up to 43%. And although Western Cape has got the largest increase of 43%, Gauteng has got the largest allocation of $231 million, which is in line with our customer base research as well. The average increase is 32.9% on the province on the provinces. Further to that, this is the provincial MTF allocation over the 3 years. And you can see that there is a trend towards increasing the emphasis to our provincial offices as well. Next slide. On this slide, it's just a breakdown of the IT projects, the major IT projects within the department. I'd like to draw your attention of all those projects just on the network infrastructure towards the middle of the page and the 2010 initiatives. What Treasury has done in the, over the MTF period, they have added those figures together. So as an example, for IT initiatives over and above the baseline, they had said in first year you have got $150 million, in your second year you've got $250 million, in the third year you've got $430 million. And they actually asked us to earmark that for those projects. And the split is determined in line with the National Treasury agreement. For the current year, that split has been agreed. In the outer years, it's still to be negotiated. Therefore, those line items can change between each other. So those are the IT projects going forward. And you'll see in terms of the smart card, there is fund in the current year to sufficiently cover the pilot that is envisaged to be done by December 2008. In the 2009 year, there is a basket of money, $335 million. In the outer year, that has not been negotiated yet. In terms of the infrastructure allocation, the next slide. Infrastructure allocation, this is the fund in terms of the capital works included in there is the repairs and maintenance program spending in terms of the offices that we're going to refurbish. The lease cost is the additional leases that we intend to engage with vendors via DPW in the current year and over the MTF period. The devolution of funds is from DPW in terms of accommodation charges and the like that have come through from DPW that we now administer. Included there is also accommodation charges for state-owned entities and already existing leases. And over the period, over the MTF period, that is increasing as well. And that is it. So in a nutshell, that is the budget over the next 3 years.
No, we now 5 minutes. Just took the last 5 minutes to finish.
Jefferson, thank you. Thanks very much indeed for that. First question, you partially answered it, but I just considered my travels around the country when I go to Home Affairs offices. One of the biggest problems is the condition that the staff work in, the condition of those offices. Whether there are no windows or they just don't meet health and safety requirements or a whole lot of things, leaking roofs. Does that budget cover that, dealing with that and dealing with it quite soon? I mean, the capital program is normally quite a long period of time. And before you answer that, perhaps just turning to, I don't know what page it is, one of the first slides you showed us, budget proposal 2008 versus approved by the MinCop budget. I'm looking at the departmental request versus what was actually allocated. There are huge discrepancies between what you actually originally asked for and what was approved. Specifically, I'm looking at the first section, improvement of access of DHA, and also improvement of information communication technology support services. I know for a fact, having been there, those are critical areas you've got to jack up. Why the discrepancy? Were you just having a wish list that you thought you'd get away with, or has Treasury and MinCom cut you down to size? What can you just give us a bit more clarity there? Why is this big dispute? Are you going to be able to fulfill improvement of access, improving communications? Because to me, if you don't do that, your strategy plan's worthless. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question, Chairperson, with regard to underspending of 721 million, while the Auditor General year in and year out raised the question of unfilled funded post. Number two, Chairperson, is the question of overspending of provinces while you have the department have under total budget of underspending of 730 million. Number three, Chair, is the question concern raised by the Auditor General. 2.3 used on entertainment. Number four, Chair, 6.9 million was budgeted for advert, but 16.7 was used. Lastly, Chairperson, foreign travel. 2.8 was budgeted, but end up spending 23.5 million. Thank you, Chair.
These are very critical issues, Chair, because if you recall how we dealt with the GPW, on the issues raised by the Auditor General, and we're saying that we definitely have to get either answers on these issues, because these are direct questions that the committee is now asking. We may not want to give the details now, but it's what we're going to get. Because it does not mean that the year has now ended, starting a new year, those things are gone. People need to account for those issues. So therefore, I'll definitely ask you to, as you respond, know that we'll be calling you to look at, as we have promised, that the issues that the Auditor General raised, and that document I said must be here today and not here for now. Maybe later we may get it. You'll make the commitment that we'll come with it today. Okay, you got it today. Okay, that's fine. Now, another issue that I thought we should raise, DG, is that you have already started the smart card process, and Parliament is not on board. I want to say that what we need is to get a presentation, not today. We'll arrange with you, DG, where you will sort of come and present to Parliament how far you have traveled with this process. Because the committee needs to know as to what's happening. By the time you do your whatever in December, the committee will have, in fact, the insight of all the processes that have been followed so far and what to expect. Because the worry again is that we're going to elections and we do not want the situation where the announcement of the new card overshadowed the green back for the identity book. Because people may think, may create confusion that people may want to think that they're going out to vote with the new card when, you know, we have the other process. So I think we may want to look at that DG at some point as a matter of agent. The issue of the 2010, we'll need a full presentation on the 2010. Especially the allocation of plus minus 100 million and growing within the MTF to over 300 million. It is a need to present, because at some point there was no present head in that section and we don't know what's happening. There's a need to come back to the committee and brief the committee on exactly what are these programs and what's happening with regard to our preparation for the 2010, not only ourselves and other role players, obviously. So I think as we move forward, this will be critical areas that we want to engage further with ourselves as we move forward. So can we then respond on these issues that the members have raised, and then therefore would then sort of try to wrap up and give members about, or maybe, sorry, before you watch, before you, the DG speaks and the CFO.
Thank you, Chair. With the budget before us, it's going to be an ongoing engagement, because one is tempted that we should discuss some of the issues raised here, but I think we are going to flag them until we have the proper time of engagement, because if I was to follow up on what my colleague said with regard to infrastructure, I would also want to raise the question of the Soweto office that we've been asking for many years as to what is happening with the Soweto office, what is happening with offices in Harris Street and Market Street in Johannesburg, and also the condition of Barrack Street as well as Wynberg offices. Are we going to be seeing changes with regard to this infrastructure? And with regard to IT projects, you find computers not working, one computer working, having seven computers frontline, but one working. Are we going to see change with regard to this budget? Thank you, Chair.
Well, as you respond, the decline of budget allocation of plus minus 40% from 43 million to 24 million. So I think if you want to improve offices and there's a decline in the allocation, what does it mean? I mean, 40% decline when the conditions of the offices are really not beautiful. I mean, you go to that Soweto office, the DG has been there, you know, the walls and everything. I mean, it's pathetic, hectic. And here you're declining, you're sort of decreasing the allocation. So let's deal with that, Baba, but we have a lot of things for you, in fact, to be very honest. Only because of time that they will not be able to engage with you. Okay, are you noting this point?
Chairperson, the unfortunate part of it is that really I don't think we are doing justice to ourselves. If there is a postponement of budget vote at 10 o'clock, some of us who are going to debate it and we are bombarded with papers here, we haven't prepared our speech yet. Then there will be a need of adjustment in our speech. Can we get clarity on this thing and say, is the budget vote still going to take place at 10 or what?
No. In fact, no. If that one does not need the DG, the budget vote is on. And you know what the good part? You know, let me tell you the good part. The good part is that you are fresh from the presentation. You see, and this what so no. The good part is that you are fresh from the presentation, and nobody definitely. No. The issues that they're going to don't respond to the issues that we have raised, but the document we have asked for this document. What we'll then do, Mr. Kosan, our engagement, because what we going to expect is that we want to see a clean department. Issues raised by the Auditor General are going to be our priority for monitoring how they've dealt with them and all of that. So yes, we're going to a budget post. I mean, I don't even have a speech as I speak to you now, but I will be speaking in the next 20 minutes. Okay.
Thank you, members. The first comment I'd like to make, in terms of Member Lowe's question of the departmental request, Stephen, if you can go to that slide number 8. In terms of the department's request and the approved MINCOM budget, when the strat plan was, not that one, carry on, that one, the strat plan is not written up on the department's request. It is written up after MINCOM budget's approval, and if you go to that next slide, after further the adjustments that were made up. So it's only to the original baseline plus the 344. So what we've written in the strat plan is catered for sufficiently in this budget. What Treasury has done, if we go back 2 slides, Stephen, in the improvement of access of DHA services, as an example, we took the whole spectrum of offices and said, what do we need to refurbish each and every office across in 1 year and over the period to maintain that? And Treasury said, we don't have that much of funds. What they only gave us was the $12 million, which actually is the security costs at 57 offices. That's what is in that $12 million rent. Okay, and that's the improvement of accesses. However, within the baseline, they asked us to do the best that we can within our current baseline. In terms of the IT and communication, it is the same. We presented business cases, and Treasury either said the business case was a little bit weak in certain areas in terms of what's the value add and are there dual paths going forward in terms of the migration plan where you're paying for new technology plus old technology, and where's the delta or where's the handshake going to be. And to that extent, they said, given the cake that they have, Treasury was very open with us. They had said in terms of the MTF adjustment period, they only had 4 billion rands to share amongst the departments. And off that, they gave us 344 million.
Speak through the chat,
It is a massive discrepancy. It is a massive discrepancy. That is why they had said just do certain of IT projects. And in that previous slide, I said this is what they said we can use the money for, the additional fund. Okay. Yes. The plan is based on what National Treasury has approved, which is further outlined in our strat plan. Okay. In terms of the underspending, I'm not sure where the 700 million comes from. The underspending for the current financial year, the year that's being audited, is 279 million. And that, by and large, is capital works expenses and IT expenses, broadly speaking. But as the audit gets concluded, we will be in a better position to give more reasons in terms of the underspending on entertainment and advertising and foreign travel. At this stage, I don't have that. So I'll reserve my comments for when the audit is concluded. Thank you.
Now, I was just going to say we note the chairperson's request for smart card presentation. We will do that. Suffice to say right now the tenders are out and we'll do the presentation. 2010, we brought a presentation here which we distributed. Perhaps it can be read. It shows how we are ramping up to that. It's our activities are based on the department's commitment, I think some many years ago, undertakings to FIFA, that if the World Cup was brought to South Africa, South Africa would do certain things. There is a document that's gone round with that. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I think this will then form part of our further engagement with the department. We've identified these three areas as flashpoint areas. Issues raised by the Auditor General are very critical. Hence, we have the document here. But we'll want you to further engage with the committee around these issues. On that note, members, firstly, let me welcome the new member who has just joined the Portfolio Committee, the Honorable Halima Mutlante. You're welcome, member. you are free to participate. I'm not going to allow you now to ask questions because I've not had the opportunity to hear the presentation. I'm in charge of the chairperson here. but thank you very much for joining us. You're welcome. Members will be able to share with you the process in which we are currently now. On that note, what I would then propose, members, is that we then move for the adoption of the budget of the department of 2008-2009. Can I get a seconder? Who's the mover? Can I get a seconder? Seconded. It's seconded with the note that we're still going to engage further on the issues that we have identified as issues that need attention. On that note, the budget is therefore adopted of the Department of Home Affairs. Now, the third part of yours will be the errata with regard to the annual report. I thought that would have prepared it by now. Issues that Charlie always raises of, you know, fine print, where commas so I thought that we have identified those issues because we need to adopt the annual report with that correction. Is that errata ready? Have you prepared it?
Yes, sir. It was prepared and it has been submitted officially. Diane?
Where was it?
I know I signed this 2 days ago.
A bit last week, but they will have to check to if it doesn't reach your office, we'll have to check.
Because you need to give facts. Because if you don't adopt your annual report, then that thing is outstanding. Because you cannot adopt the report with a...
Let me quickly find out, please.
You see, now you're going to... Can we sort of agree, members, that... And those amendments were what? It was... Charlie, you have noted the amendments that we're supposed to deal with. It was one small point of a different of amounts, ne? Can we sort of... Can we agree that this information will be forwarded in the chamber? Because I'll have to release members now to go and prepare themselves for the budget in the next 5 minutes. In the next five minutes, members will have to go and prepare themselves. So therefore, that information will come. But in principle, I think, can we move for the adoption with that correction? If the correction does not come, therefore, you're going to have a problem because we'll then reverse the whole thing in the chamber if that information does not come. In principle, can we move for the adoption of the annual report with correction, and then that correction must be tabled before we speak in the House. Because if it's not done, we're not going to adopt the annual report, and it's going to have a problem, which meaning that it reverses everything that they have agreed upon. Yes, that's the effect. Okay. Members, the DG and the officials, we want to take this opportunity to thank you, even if we're operating under serious pressure. But we have managed to arrive at the end of our budget. Mr. Moyana, GPW, you owe us on the 27th of this month. We want your strategic plan table with clear programs. So therefore, we have noted your strategic plan is not adopted. So on those bases, can we now go debate the issues? I know the opposition is here, and I think we had one on the issues, and we're not going to be, you know, embarrassing, but we're going to be more focused with the current challenges obvious of migration and that are facing the country. I think this committee is expected to give a lead, in fact, in the, you know, how best we can resolve this issue. So therefore, our conduct in the House today must reflect that of, you know, members of the committee who really understand the challenges and who are coming up with solutions to sort of address those challenges. Therefore, thank you very much, members, and we'll meet at the chamber in the next 10 minutes. Thank you. I don't know.
But another guy just arrived that's meeting for